The title today is The Reason for the Season. God is always working in our lives. Whatever we're going through, if we are born again and a disciple of Jesus, he is always working. And there's always a reason for whatever season you're going through. And I've learned that God is a God of seasons. There are times when he blesses you for no reason. There are times when he puts pressure on you to test your faith. There are times when you have to go through the wilderness. And personally, I found that the most fruitful times in my life have been wilderness times. Because in the wilderness, things get dealt with. Priorities are rearranged. And you come out much stronger than you went in.
Amen.
Amen. And I'm excited, actually, by what's happening. Because we're called to be like the sons of Issachar. Those who know the times but understand what God is doing. And we need to understand what God is doing right now. We've had glimpses of it. I've preached about it. Others have preached about it. We've said that we are about to enter a threshold moment when we're on the threshold of things that are new, things that we've never, ever experienced before. That we're at a watershed moment, a time when things will change in our nation. It's a crucial time in the history of the world and our nation. And you can see this building and building all around the world. And we're going to be, as a church, having to grapple with situations and things that we've never faced before. The church is going to have to radically change to encompass the harvest which is to come. If the harvest is as big as I know it will be, as God has promised, buildings will be irrelevant. We'll be back on the streets, in homes, in coffee bars, and God will be in the midst. Amen?
Amen.
Does that excite you or scare you? And this is just what we're going through now, I believe, is just a part of that churning that God is causing in the world. Transition brings pressure and opposition. The enemy has brought this thing upon us. I believe that God has allowed it because there's some of the judgment of God in it for us as nations of the world because we've been disobedient to him. But the enemy obviously is making hay while the sun shines. Amen? He's trying to do as much damage as he can do. And there are two or three things he's trying to do. And you need to be aware of them. He's trying to bring fear. Perfect love casts out fear. Jesus is perfect love. So you, if you're a born-again believer, do not entertain fear in your household or fear from this virus. If it gets a hold of you, repent. And come out from that mindset. The second thing he's trying to do is to isolate us. He's trying to get us to look inward, to take care of number one, to pamper ourselves, to make sure we're okay. Because on God's heart is harvest. I preached it last time. This is harvest time. It's coming. I know it's coming. in my heart. We went to a conference in Europe. It was on harvest. Everyone is preparing for harvest. So what does the enemy do? He makes us look in instead of out. But he shot himself in the foot. Because this whole situation is causing people to ask serious questions. Like, what is happening? What is this world all about? What is life about? What is happening to me? You're the one with the answers. Take every opportunity to share Jesus. Amen? It's going to be the start of a big harvest for God. And we mustn't be drawn in by the tactics of the enemy. Keep your focus on God. Keep your focus on Jesus. Keep your focus on the end. Amen? Because this is all part of that process. Sometimes we have to go into the wilderness before we emerge anointed for our purpose and calling. Maybe this is a wilderness time for the church, for us to prepare. Amen? Jesus had to go into the wilderness to be tested. He was led by the Holy Spirit. He came out in the power of the Spirit and began his ministry. And I believe we've an opportunity here to see the church radically changed through this experience. Okay? So that's a prophetic bit. That's my heart. That's where my heart is. Amen? So don't fear. God's at work. And we're going to see some great things. Amen? Amen? My scripture for today is John 15, 1 to 2. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. No choice. The dead gets cut off. The good gets pruned. And I believe this is what God is doing right now. Because the church has got to go through a radical change and transition, he is pruning. He is getting rid of the dead. He is chopping back that which has been fruitful so that it might be even more fruitful. Amen? So in the midst of all this doom and gloom, God is at work. And is at work in a mighty positive way. This is a time to review priorities and the use of our time. We've got to start focusing on what is really important. These will be seasons of testing. They're crucial to our spiritual development. It's time to refocus and to be even more fruitful for the kingdom. You see, some of us may be fruitful in many areas, but God might want us to lay those down so that we can be even more fruitful. That's hard to recognize when that season is over and it's a fresh season to move on, and God will use you even more. Whatever happens, you're going to bear fruit. But it's going to cost. It's going to cost all the dead weight you're carrying around, all the things that you spend your time doing that are not really important. You've got to begin to choose your priorities and what's important to you and to him. And this is the time too when we need to look at the fruitfulness of our lives in the Lord and say, and be honest. And say, Lord, yes, I've been fruitful, but I want to be even more fruitful. I want to be the person you made me to be. Amen. And I believe many of us haven't reached that yet. So there's potential for change. There's potential for growth. Let me give you some signs that I've experienced that told me I may be in a testing season. Okay, see if you can identify with any of this. Feeling that things you have been involved with are shutting down. Voluntarily or involuntarily being released from certain ministry responsibilities. Longing for the honeymoon period of knowing your first love again. I've made many mistakes and I've often wondered if I would ever recover. I've had doubts about my ability and wondered if God has really called me. I've gone through testing circumstances, testing my character. I've looked at some of the prophecies I've been given and wondered whether they'd ever be fulfilled. Do you feel that you're being criticized, blocked, or resisted? Do you just feel battle-worn or weary? Do you feel displaced, opposite of what God's call and destiny you believed you had seems to be happening? God is working through all of these. Anybody identify with any of those? I can. Stick up your hand if you can identify. I just want to know if I'm speaking to the right people. Yes, that's good. So you have been through testing times. Some of you here today are in these testing times. And I want to give you some clues how to handle testing times and how to allow God to bring you out of the other side, just like he did with Jesus. Wilderness times are even more fruitful than blessing times. Yeah. When I'm being totally blessed and things are okie-dokie and wonderful, that's the time when the enemy can get into my life because I let the guard down. If you're in the wilderness, you're thrown on God. And you see things clearly. And that which is wrong, you change. And you come out different. Yeah? So if you're going through that today, rejoice. Amen? Got good news for you. Wilderness times only last for a while. They don't go on forever. They go on for as long as God sees that something is happening positively in your life. God is in the business of cultivating our lives. And every now and again, he has to bring out the pruning shears. Amen? Because if he doesn't, we don't grow. We're not healthy. We don't go beyond and produce even more fruit. Maybe you've been producing fruit for years, but the fruit's been getting smaller and smaller. And the tree is beginning to dry up. it's pruning time. Because he wants to use you again. Okay, I've got some things here that will help you. Okay, what is God doing in this pruning time? What is the reason for the season you're going through? Number one, he's developing skills you will need for the future. See, God is always developing you to become mature, become more like Jesus, to be more effective. Remember the story of Joseph in Genesis 37:50. Joseph knew his destiny was one of rulership, but it seemed that his life was taking the opposite direction. However, time of slavery, unjust imprisonment. Through all of that, he developed skills that would be invaluable to him in his future. He learned the Egyptian language and its customs, along with the principles of stewardship, leadership, and resource management. And so when that whole nation came into famine, he was the man who had the skills to be their saviour. Amen? Amen? Whatever God is doing with you now, it's painful, it's hurtful, but is he developing you in new things? In your character? In your gift? So in the future, you can look back and say, hey, I'm glad I went through that. If I hadn't have gone through that, I wouldn't have learnt this. And so, number one, developing new skills. Number two, he's refining your character. During wilderness times, people and circumstances that try us are instruments that God is using to develop our character and sharpen our focus. How many people know that? If God's trying to work patience in your life, he puts you next to the most obnoxious, horrible person that you could possibly imagine to work with. It's the way he does it. So rejoice. Learn the lesson. He's refining your character with people and with circumstances. Circumstances don't just happen. God manipulates them for your good. Never for your evil, for your good. Because he's always looking to change you. He's watching for your reactions and how he can change those things. Joseph understood this. In Genesis 50:20, he said to his brothers, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." Joseph saw it. His character was being refined. Moses was a man of great humility. 40 years in the wilderness refined his character. I hope you don't spend 40 years in the wilderness season. But if it happens, rejoice. Because Moses was the meekest man on the earth. God radically changed him. The thing here is, if you learn quick, it will be over quick. Amen. If you keep saying no, you'll stay in the wilderness. That's the way God works. Isn't he a wonderful father? He knows all your excuses. So just give in and enjoy him. because he wants to enjoy you. James 1, verse 4. But let patience have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. You want to lack in nothing? Let God refine your character. Thirdly, he uses wilderness to reposition us. During the wilderness time, God is repositioning you for a new season of fruitfulness. What we're going through now is, as I've said, is preparation for harvest. Through this, you are going to get your spiritual gifts sharpened, made more effective for what is to come. I love this story. Elijah sat under a tree in the desert and prayed he would die. This is the great prophet of God. He'd had enough. He sat down and he prayed to God to die. God came, gave him directions for a new ministry season. He was to call Elisha as his successor. He was to anoint a new king who would end Jezebel's reign. You can read about that in 1 Kings 19. Just when you're at your lowest, God will come and reposition you. Amen? So if you're thinking it's over, you know, I'm useless, my ministry is ended, no one needs me anymore, watch out, God's about to turn up and recommission you. And we're never too old for that. Never too old. Elijah had an appointment in the wilderness, so do we. Draw close to him and wait for him to speak to you about a new season in your life. If you're in the wilderness now and wondering, where does it go from here? Ask God, say, Lord, come, show me my new season. Because God works in seasons. There's always a new season. Reach out for it. Fourth thing, God is calling you to intimacy. Testing times are seasons when we have the greatest opportunities to get closer to God. Perhaps there are fewer distractions. Perhaps we need the need of barrenness causes us to draw near to him. It's on God's heart to reveal his love to you in fresh ways, in a wilderness time. Most people, when they face difficulties, run away from God. Don't do that. If you're in the wilderness, run to God. Because he wants you to come close and to know his love again and to know his faith for you again. That you matter to him. It's a lovely verse in Hosea 2, 14, 15. It says, therefore, I will allure her, bring her into the wilderness and speak comfort to her. I will give her vineyards from there and the valley of Achor as the door of hope. As you draw near to God, he always gives hope. And that hope gives faith. Amen? So if you're feeling down, let these words speak to you. It's not the end. It's the beginning. A new season. And lastly, fifthly, When we're in the wilderness, we are awaiting the right timing. Two more things, actually. We're awaiting the right timing. Wilderness always is temporary. While we feel we are fighting to survive, God is moving to change the scenery on the stage of our lives, positioning circumstances and others and us for what is to come. David went on the run from Saul in the wilderness. He was destined to become king, but he became an outlaw first. He stayed in the desert while God worked things out on his behalf. Saul died, and the people then called David to be their new king. So, wilderness is a time of waiting for the right season. See, God's not only working on you, but he's working on those circumstances in your life. He's working on the people in your life and the people you're going to meet in your life, so that when you come out of the wilderness, you're straight into a new season that he has already been working on for you. Isn't that great? Where it's a new job, a new relationship, a new ministry, whatever. God is already there, working it out. Tremendous. And finally, wilderness strengthens our faith. Abraham was known as father of the faith. He had 25 barren years before Isaac was born in fulfillment of God's promise to make him a great nation. God waited until it was physically impossible. 25 years, and then Isaac was born. Hallelujah. Romans 4:19. Without weakening his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead since he was about 100 years old. And Sarah's womb was also dead, yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God. And lastly, number 7, pruning is for greater fruitfulness. Pruning seasons occur when the best that we have produced is stripped away from us, and every natural means of being fruitful seems to have been removed, leaving us feeling barren. God is allowing fruitful areas of our lives and ministries to be cut back in order that we may flow in a new way and see even more fruit than we would healthily have seen before. He wants to produce healthy and strong results that will emerge. So how is your season right now? Are you scared of what's going on? Are you understanding what's going on? Hope this morning's helped. God's at work. And if you're in a wilderness situation, there are 7 things there that God is doing for you right now. And that wilderness will end. And hopefully, it will produce a harvest in you, a new fruitfulness, new opportunities of ministry, new relationships, a new awareness of God, a new closeness to God in the Spirit, a new moving in the gifts. That will all come as part of this. Amen?
Amen.
And you've got to be in faith. You've got to be in faith. Don't believe the lies of the enemy. I'm going to finish with two very encouraging miracle stories. Would you like that?
Yep.
Just to, in this situation, lift your faith to see God who he is. We heard these from friends in Bulgaria, so we know they're true. There was a Bible school in Singapore, and the guy at the conference we were at knew the people concerned. And as part of the course, at the end of the course, in order for them to gain their degree or certificate, they had to go and plant the church.
Wow.
That was a practical test. Call yourself church planters, go and do it, and then we'll give you the ticket. And so they had to go away and pray about where they God wanted them to go. This guy came back and he said, I want to go to that island. And he showed it to the principal.
Indonesia.
It was in Indonesia. Indonesia is a load of islands together. And he came and he said, I want to go to that island. Called back into the principal's office a few days later. Sorry, that island is uninhabited. So we can't send you there. So he goes away and he prays again. He said, I'm sure about this. He goes back and he said, I'm sure God is saying I've got to go there. And the principal said, okay, go. So he gets on a boat and off he goes to this uninhabited island. Except it wasn't. There were a group of fanatic Islamic terrorists who were using this island as a training camp. And he walked straight into it. And they strung him up and put him into jail or whatever, tied him up. And then the chief of the terrorists got sick unto death. And he said, would you like me to pray for your chief? I believe that God can heal. And he prayed for him. You know the story. Got completely healed. He got saved. The whole lot of them got saved.
Yes, mate.
The whole lot of them got saved. On an uninhabited island. He got his church. But not only that, they were training to go out into other islands to cause terror. And so these 50 or 60 terrorists went out into all the islands in Indonesia and they all planted churches. That's harvest. Amen. Isn't that great? See, that could have been a wilderness situation for him. It was a harvest situation. Who knows what God's going to do with you? Just be obedient to him. Another story. This is the kind of thing that church is going to get involved with. Things that we've never, ever thought of. Church in... where is it? Pennsylvania, okay? A friend of ours knows the pastor and everything. Big church. And they were getting concerned about the number of pole clubs, strip clubs, coming into their town. And they started to pray. And they had an older women's group who met to do crafts and knitting. And they came to the pastor and they said, praying's all right, but we need to do something. And they said, we've got a plan. They said, we're going to go and sit in these clubs. We want your permission. to sit in the back row and do our knitting. And so they went, a group of them, into these clubs. Every night, they sat there. And they prayed for the girls as they performed their stuff. And then after a while, some of these girls came and started to talk to them, shared their lives with them, shared their problems with them. A few of them started coming to church. A few of them started getting saved. And then it all ended when the owner of all the clubs, there was one man who owned it all, who planted all these clubs. He got saved. Because he could see what these old ladies were doing. And he got saved, and instead of planting strip clubs, he's now planting churches. Amen. That's church. You ready for that, girls?
Yeah.
Amen. Notice it was only the women who could do that, men couldn't do that. But they did it. And it was the older ladies who did it. That gives great comfort to me, who's over 70, that my time isn't finished yet. Amen. So watch out, God's going to use you, but you're not quite sure what he's going to use you for. Okay, opportunity to pray. If you want prayer this morning, you felt that you've been in a wilderness situation, that you were sinking, that things were on top of you, and what you've heard today has given you a little bit of hope, I just want to pray for you. You stand up, we'll pray. Just think of those five things. If you want God to do any of those, then he can this morning. Oh, Father, we thank you for the opportunity you've given us through this unexpected turmoil. And Father, what the world sees as chaos and terrible, yes, it is. We agree. But Lord, you can turn it for good. Lord, cause people to ask those questions. Cause those people to ask those questions to us. And Lord, give us the boldness and understanding and wisdom to know how to answer those questions. And Lord, for anyone here who feels they're in a wilderness situation, things haven't worked out for you, things haven't gone like you've expected, things are beginning to close down and you're wondering, well, where do I go from here? Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, you will bring hope and faith and you turn every situation around so that this wilderness time will finish quickly. And they will know from you, from the Holy Spirit, what direction, what new thing you are opening up for each one of us. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.